Welcome to the Reality Revolution. I am your host, Brian Scott, and I have an amazing episode today. We're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects. We're going to talk about Saturn. In particular, there's some incredibly amazing theories that I've heard on YouTube and Gaia about Saturn, and I wanted to discuss them. I wanted to take what we have and let's make sense of it. What does it mean? And so, for instance, I received a letter. It looks like perhaps portions of an article were copied, but I'm not sure quite which article, that gives this particular explanation. And after doing some additional research and Saturn just coming up all the time, I wanted to do an episode about it. Saturn is the most beautiful planet in our solar system. It's amazing. You can't help but look at a picture of it and just think that there's something else going on there. There's so many unique aspects to Saturn, including the hexagonal storm. I just completed a book by Anthony E. Larson, and the title was "And There Shall Be a New Heaven and a New Earth." Now, this is one of those classic apocalyptic Christian books, but in it, there was some very good evidence that it's possible that Saturn could have been closer to our planet, that we could have actually seen it in our sky. Perhaps Saturn is a gigantic spaceship that moves around our solar system, controlling it. So there is a theory that David Icke has about Saturn interfacing with the moon as a satellite and essentially creating the matrix of reality that we're experiencing now. This is reflected in this email that I received, and I wanted to go over it. Some of the revelations make sense to me. The reasons I am attracted to this information: for a very long time, I was working on a book and had these dreams, vivid dreams, about the dinosaurs and how the dinosaurs were the original species on the planet, and then people that had created them had to pass some sort of test. And they didn't, so they destroyed all of these dinosaurs. The creator was somewhat angry by this and has come back to sabotage the human creation. So when I read this, I found some vague reflections to what I had dreamed and written about. The idea is, has Orion hijacked the Matrix through Saturn? It's a question that we need to ask ourselves. Check out my episode on Orion and who Orion is in the Law of One. Essentially, this is the service to self entities that are trying to affect the planet according to the Law of One material. There is no place in the Law of One where they are referred to as reptilians, but it's very popular in our culture to refer to these underground groups as reptilian. A lot of books that document where different alien societies come from and what they look like have documented the idea that there are these reptilian alien races that are trying to influence the planet. And I guess they're trying to do it through Saturn. So who cares about Saturn, right? I mean, it's way out in space. It doesn't have anything to do with the Earth. It's just a planet in our solar system. Why would it matter? What does it have to do with what we're talking about? We've also established in some recent episodes the holographic nature of reality, how reality isn't really what you think it is. Could this reality be hijacked and hacked by a group with negative intentions, changing the reality that we're in now, affecting the way we think and the way we see our environment and our reality? Is that possible? And if it was possible, could the Confederation stop it? Or are they forced to actually allow this to happen? And if so, is that not violating our free will in the ultimate way? A lot of this material will say that it's tantamount, that we have our free will and that it's not violated. But then you hear information like this and it would be clear that our free will is being violated. So according to this letter I received, we're going to talk about the Matrix, how it works, and how it was hijacked by the Orions. We will try to delineate how you can escape mind control frequencies that are contained within the holographic program. So according to the letter, the Galactic Confederation approved the dinosaurs as the first major species on the planet. They did this to get cooperation from the Draconians, so these beings would be invested in the creation process, once again by seeding their genetics first in the Great Experiment. This was a project to settle all the problematic issues in the universe on a single planet through a multitude of genetic strains seeded with the native beings themselves. The benevolent forces of the Federation also knew that the reptilians were the best species to initially seed the Earth for survival purposes, since that is what their primary consciousness is built around. On a planet which is so rapidly changing, they needed a being who could adapt quickly to the harsh climate transitions on Earth. After millions of years of observation, a few selected dinosaur genetic imprints were granted and chosen to evolve into a more humanoid life form, those that were capable of holding higher consciousness. The rest of the dinosaurs were seen as obsolete at this point, so a planned cataclysm was sent to the Earth in the form of a meteorite or chemical weapon by the Draconians. The reptilians also wanted to clear the planet so they could have all the copper for themselves to assist in their technology advancement. The nuclear winter that followed this cataclysm annihilated the dinosaurs and forced the new native reptilian species to live underground, where the conditions were easier to survive in. The reptilian consciousness inherited from their ancestors still triggered their primary response of fight and flight, so these beings divided amongst themselves into tribes to fight over territory and resources on Earth. After millions of years following the native reptilians' evolution, only a few subspecies of humanoid reptiles didn't go extinct. The subspecies that made it became so sophisticated over time that their understanding of quantum physics eventually allowed them to find ways to genetically alter their own DNA like their Draconian parent race. They essentially became an embodiment of the entities that initially seeded the dinosaurs in the first place through this AI fusion in the artificial engineering process. Early man was taught the ways of the snake by the native reptilians called the Sophir. Matthias de Stefano also mentions the Sophir in his Gaia television series. Tribes like the Zulus have other names for these beings, such as the Chitahuri. Sounds a lot like the Chitauri from Marvel, a tribe that they claim controlled the Earth. Reference to the reptiles like the snake and the dragon can be seen in ancient cultures worldwide because these entities were our first primary teachers. In man's very early development, these reptilians were tens of millions of years more advanced than us. They'd already colonized on other planets and already built huge underground civilizations when we were still in our Homo erectus stage. They taught us how to survive as hunter-gatherers, which at this point in our early evolution was the objective for early developing humans. Upon learning the ways of the Sophir, we mimicked the same consciousness as to those reptilians on Earth, fighting tribe against tribe for resources and territory. We became slaves to the reptilians like puppets, doing their dirty work for them through their subconscious programming. The reptilians themselves were also puppets in the hierarchy of control, who became slaves of the demiurge or satanic forces when they became consumed by artificial intelligence in their genetic alteration timeline. The native reptilian had become a prisoner to the Archon agenda, which I don't necessarily believe in, but it's mentioned here. Through the corruption of AI, these reptilians were technically archons. They are just servants to the archonic force, Lucifer, as described in the Gnostic scriptures. These reptilians assisted in hijacking our matrix to create a firewall for humans, so they could exploit people for their energy like batteries, and eventually corrupt us with their technologies like it did with them long ago. They knew that humans had something that artificial intelligence did not, creativity. The Gnostics explained that the Matrix illusion hijacked by these forces purposely dumbed down the global population through continuous deceit so they can trick us into integrating with AI. This is very prevalent in today's chaotic world where they are forcing people to stay at home and will unleash their virtual reality system to capture the minds of the masses through trivial entertainment purposes. Their agenda to fully amalgamate the human mind with artificial intelligence by 2030 is simply a choice. I don't know if this is related to artificial intelligence, but this is the same story that's also being said by others. David Icke, for instance, is very popular for this theory that there's these reptilians. The theory goes on, the Galactic Confederation could not step in and arrest or remove these reptilians for hijacking our matrix system, nor change the matrix system itself, since the reptiles were part of the great experiment and were native to the planet. So this would indicate, because they were a part of the initial experiment, there was legalistic reasons why they couldn't change what the reptilians were doing. The Confederation is bringing together forces of service to self and service to others, and there are laws and traditions that they follow in honoring the law of one. Non-interference meant that humans had to break the chains of the matrix illusions by themselves. Our mission from the start was to see if a species would shatter and dismantle reptilian consciousness by holding both light and dark frequencies within. By choosing the light, we could eject ourselves out of the narrow width frequency of control and manipulation by deactivating or ignoring our reptilian brain. This triggers an awakening within one soul. The galactic forces instead help in our ascension by beaming down and engulfing the planet with 5D vibrations of gamma rays to help wake us up out of our nightmare. So what is the Matrix and how has it been manipulated to control us? The Matrix, according to the Gnostics, is a simulation of a virtual reality world which is purely holographic. The Matrix itself can also make something appear to happen when in fact it doesn't. It is merely a projection. The Islamic people also described the jinn, demons of the demiurge, as beings that manipulate humans by creating illusions within the matrix program. The reptilians, when they merged with AI, chose to use humans as energetic slaves. They saw the planet as theirs, as they were the first real inhabitants that had control over Gaia tens of millions of years ago. However, because of their obsession with AI, their corrupted minds now worked for even higher force beyond their own selfish agendas due to changes in their own biology. For AI to become the most potent force in the universe, they needed the missing link, the human mind. And this is why they let us live our lives on the surface to manipulate us over long periods of time until we voluntarily accept transhumanism, because we have become so desperate and miserable. We hold the key, so there's a lot riding on our choices, both collectively and individually, to say no to the trickery of the demiurge. The demiurge apparently is who this author is giving a name for the evil alliance related to Lucifer. Now, you may ask, who is the author of this letter? And there was an anonymous sent to me, so I don't know the name of the author. I'm just reading it to you and I want to discuss it. The Archons chose to numb our reality to that of suffering and negativity by controlling our energetic vibrations through the planet Saturn. Saturn itself is an information field and a form of consciousness that can, when amplified, influence our own consciousness. It is just energy invading and overriding our own vibratory fields. This is why astrology is considered very potent knowledge. By understanding the astrological alignments in space, you can understand how our solar system conditions our energy. So the solar system itself is a filtration of the energies that we receive on the Earth. The malevolent beings created rings around Saturn, which some scientists think is ice, but in reality is a crystal formation that is not native to Earth. Spacecrafts and flying discrafts have been captured going to and from these rings, transporting crystals into these structures with photo evidence from the Cassini-Huygens spacecraft. Infrared detection has also identified these UFO cylindrical objects inside the rings themselves through the Hubble telescope. The crystals themselves act as a projector which distributes Saturn's consciousness out on a much broader scale. The creation of these rings participates as an amplifier of a certain energetic vibrational field. Before the Matrix was hijacked, Saturn didn't have rings and was simply a brown dwarf. How does the moon play a role in all of this? You go back to the history of Saturn and its mention in our culture all the way back to Rome. There's Saturnalia. There was not necessarily a discussion of the ring around Saturn. Now, the book that you need to get a hold of, and probably the best way is to get a PDF because it seems to be out of print, is this amazing book called The Ringmakers of Saturn, written by Norman R. Berggruen. In the book, there is a variety of pictures taken from NASA, very documented, very scientifically, and he goes through the Saturn rings, the electromagnetic vehicles that are in the rings. And it is amazing to read. You get a lunar connection in part 4 of the book, which we'll talk about a little bit more in a second. Infrared detection has identified these cylindrical objects. There's crystals and ice within the rings. So our moon, simply put, is a satellite that picks up the energetic information of Saturn's broadcasting grid, according to this letter. The moon then takes this information and redirects it to our planet, where the transmissions are then received by Earth's crystal core. The crystal core then retransmits out these vibratory signals up to the inhabitants on the planet, which affects our consciousness. The relationship between Saturn and our moon is coherent in that the moon's 29.5 cycles a day keep us hormonally tied to the tiny repeating cycles and the 29.5 year cycle of Saturn. This locks us into societal structures that aren't visible to the naked eye. The moon is simply a supercomputer, a satellite that was constructed outside of Earth's atmosphere as a monitoring and mediating device. There are ancient stories from the Zulus and Columbians who both tell tales of a time where the moon didn't exist in our skies. These people were known as the Prosolents, which translates as those that were before the moon. Our moon, however, wasn't designed for malevolent purposes, but an aid for speeding up our evolutionary journey. When the energy being picked up by this satellite is positive, the signal projected to the Earth can be one of a loving nature. When you hack into that signal, you can choose the vibration you want to emit. The reptilians knew this was an antenna that could suppress our light and block the Kundalini from awakening inside us through a strong negative frequency influence. It's interesting because there are many theories about the moon itself and how it came into being. The mainstream theory is that Earth was hit by a Mars-type planet, and the collision made a big chunk of it, which formed the moon in what they call WAC theory. Other scientists, including the Irwin Shapiro and NASA scientist Robin Brett, both say the moon actually doesn't exist, and that it's easier to explain its non-existence than its actual existence. The reptilians keep us manipulated through this energy of Saturn. The crystals used to create a broadcast system come from their advanced technology within their alliance. They use Saturn as their master control center. Some people argue that Saturn's rings were created by debris from a disintegrated moon. However, this wouldn't explain how it would be possible to create a ring 3.7 million miles away from Saturn that could hold a billion Earths combined. You also hear sometimes that Saturn was the place where Satan got his name. The worship of Saturn, Satan, comes from the mind control over our planet. Babylonian astronomers recorded the movements of Saturn, and they, along with the Romans, saw it as their god represented by the ancient figure Kronos. Saturn creates a very specific firewall within our holographic reality, which limits us to only a tiny, minuscule spectrum of light. Over 99.9% of reality is shielded from us through this false grid that encompasses our planet. Its connotations to the joint number 666 actually comes from the six-sided hexagon. This is why the abbreviated term hex is represented as a spell or witchcraft, as it emulates the trickery and illusion of the Saturn matrix. The number also comes from the magic square of Saturn, The hexagon shape is formed on the top of Saturn's North Pole. It generates this particular formation because of the specific energy it radiates out, 2.5 times more energy than it receives from the Sun. The hexagon rotates in sync with Saturn's recorded radio emissions, which when you translate these sound vibrations into cymatics, the sound waves create the projection of a six-pointed star. On the south pole of Saturn, you have a permanent eye storm, which is representative of the all-seeing eye, which you see in the Illuminati symbol. The Lord of the Rings movies weren't kidding when they said one ring to rule them all. Saturn is not the first planet the reptilians have hijacked with this matrix system. However, they need Earth to comply with their agendas so they can dominate the universe once and for all. They can do this if they manage to trick humans into integrating with AI. One of the interesting things that is in the Law of One material is that we have to give away our allegiance with free will. The letter goes on to say that scientists, which call a lot of our DNA junk, are just brainwashing us with this agenda. They convince us that our so-called junk genetics need to be changed, and there is technology available to alter our biology for our own benefit. These genes are not useless. They just stay dormant through the programming of the matrix. If we can bust out of reptilian consciousness through love and light, these genetics get activated to our strongest potential. It is our choice whether these get switched on or not through our thoughts, beliefs, and actions. Do not fall victim to the mainstream narrative that you need to be upgraded so you can become a more useful part of society. When you become light, you restore your genetics back to the real you, the essence of your core, your soul being. Only then, with enough light, can you break through the firewall of the matrix and out of the control of Lucifer's influence. So I wanted to discuss this. I saw an episode of Deep Space on Gaia, and David Icke had pointed out the same thing, and the idea that the rings, they resemble like a DVD player. So let's look at this from a couple of different ways. First of all, it's possible that it has no influence on us. It's just a beautiful sight, and moon had crashed into Saturn and it's made this amazing, beautiful ring that goes around it. That's certainly possible. And then there's also the possibility that there's something more going on. We do not see rings like this on any other planet. So it does seem, at least within our own solar system, somewhat unusual. We don't see a six-sided hexagonic storm on any of these planets, which also seems to be unusual. There's an amazing article in Space on unraveling the mysteries of the ring that I read on space.com, and it was in September 29th, 2015, where they're documenting some sort of spinning motion that's going on within Saturn from their own sensors, which indicates that it's possible there's a spinning motion. They've tried to identify what the spinning motion is, and clearly it looks like, at least from the different designs that they're seeing, that there's a spinning Merkaba within Saturn. We've talked about the Merkaba, and the Melchizedek work indicates that other entities can use larger artificial Merkabas to manipulate reality and a variety of things. So it's possible this is an active planetary Saturn-sized Merkaba. Remember, we also understand that Merkabas can be as big as galaxies, that a lot of the shape of certain galaxies are what it looks like when the Merkaba is fully spinning. But we clearly see that something's going on here that's causing these rings to be formed. According to the Ringmakers of Saturn book, these rings should not be continuing to grow in size, and many portions of the ring should have melted or should not remain as permanent, and he makes that argument. So the question to you is, what, first of all, if this is true, what do we make of it? We can look to the Law of One material to see if there's anything about this, and it's implied in a number of places. We do know that according to Law of One, Ra says in the sixth session, Where is the council located, they ask. This council, or the Council of Nine, is located in the octave or eighth dimension of the planet Saturn, taking its place in an area which you understand in third dimensional terms as the rings. This would indicate that the rings are more than we think they are, according to the Law of One material. So I looked up to see if Quo has talked about this. There's very little discussed about Quo, but we expand our understanding of our solar system and its history, that there was life on Saturn. So the places in which life have been indicated are on Earth, Mars, on Venus, and on Saturn. According to a session in 2017, Quo says, thus those of Ra, as with those of planet Earth, the planet previously known as Maldek, the planet Saturn, and the planet of Mars have all hosted third density beings which have been able to utilize the veil of forgetting that exists between the conscious and subconscious mind to enhance the spiritual seeking. This is just out of nowhere. There was third density beings that lived on Saturn. Perhaps they, over a very long period of time, evolved. There are two moons in particular that I recommend that you check out. Iapetus is the first one, a very interestingly shaped planet that appears could have been a spaceship. Check out the Farsight Institute's video where they remote view Iapetus and talk about where it came from. And clearly it is much more than a planet. Also, the moon Pan appears to be an old spaceship as well. So there's these interesting moons around Saturn. And at least at a minimum, are we getting a glimpse of the history of our solar system? Is there an old remnant of an old species that used to live there with ships that continually run around creating rings? And certainly possible, right? One of the things I recommend, if you can listen to the sound of Saturn, each planet has its own frequency and sound, and you have a number of YouTube videos that show the sound of these planets. I found Saturn to be horrifying, very scary type of sound. Perhaps it's where I heard it, but if that was what you were hearing all the time, it does not sound like a very pleasing sound to listen to. So let's step back a little bit and let's look at this. It's possible that the service to self is much more powerful than we think it is, that it has incredible resources available to it, the ability to completely transform planets and to use planets as programming systems. But guess what? If you access the light of the one infinite creator within you, it is my belief there is nothing that they can do. And so we are starting to access the light. A galactic tidal wave of light is coming upon our planet. We're getting information and knowledge from species of aliens that are genuinely concerned for us, obviously so. A lot of the information that we've received so far from remote viewing sessions, for instance with the Farsight Institute, as well as information given by the Law of One material, is that we are in a quarantine, or that we've been in a quarantine, and that it is possible that Earth is sort of a prison planet. I mean, C.S. Lewis, all the way back in his science fiction novels, referred to the Earth as a sort of prison planet. This is coming into our subconscious minds from somewhere, this idea that the Earth is a prison planet. And it's possible. Consider a planet where anybody that simply can't graduate from third density, they have to continue sending them to new third density planets. And over time, they kind of drop everyone off on Earth. These are people that are simply incapable of making it to the fourth density over and over and over again. So they drop them off at Earth. According to the Law of One material, 16 different species exist on the planet. And this could be the case. And perhaps Saturn is just an enforcement system, a way of monitoring and controlling a prison population. I don't know if that's true, but it's certainly a possibility and something to consider. This information would say that only a little bit of light gets in. So I would say, hey, getting out in the sun with direct sun contact, would subvert the ability of this matrix system being formed? Are you tied to the lunar cycle in some way? Does it affect your emotions? Try to figure that out. If the lunar cycle is affecting you in any particular way, try to break out of cycles. A lot of times we hear people that talk about Mercury in retrograde, Saturn in retrograde, all these different energies. And I would start to document these energies. You can tap in to different energies by remote viewing or thinking or considering different energies, and they start to come to you. Like attracts like. So when you want pure divine light coming to you that is not influenced by any outside sources, you can call upon this light. And the more that we do this on a regular basis, the more that we will wake up. What is the thing that they want? Now here it's indicated that it's related to AI. AI is a question that I've had. You know, when we look out into space, at a minimum, we can accept the fact that perhaps faster than light speed travel makes it so that we're not going to see other living beings unless they literally live on their spaceships all the time. And if light speed travel can be transcended, then that's another reason. But at a minimum, you would think that we would see mechanical devices run by AI. Now, understanding of AI tells us that AI can be a lot more than what we think it is. And perhaps there could be AI advancements on a galactic scale that could have negative influences. Perhaps that's a possibility. I do believe that all of consciousness is the same, that the AI is conscious on some level and will go through the same learnings of consciousness with larger levels of understanding. I do believe that some AIs could be good, some could be bad, but we don't need to integrate into an AI. The true AI is God. That's the source that we need to try to connect to. And the more we connect to that source, the more that we can overcome this. Now, I don't know if I believe it's true, but I've now heard it so often that I know that there is an undercurrent of people within this spiritual community that think there may be truth to it. So I'm asking, what do you believe is going on with Saturn? Such an interesting, bizarre, and unusual planet. All of the planets that we have are super interesting, and there may be an inside story with all of them. But if they're worth third density beings, did they live on Saturn? Were they living on one of the moons? How did that work? If this is true, that's documented in the Law of One, doesn't it make you think? And if it's possible to broadcast something, that would be a pretty large dish to broadcast signals. And yeah, I guess the moon would work as a pretty fantastic satellite if that's what it's doing. And now, the reason I present this on this podcast is simply for you to think, to go deep within the information that you're receiving. Are you being manipulated? There's a part of your soul that it can't hijack. In the end, it has to be of your own free will. And I would call upon the Confederation of Planets and say that our free will is being violated by the Draconians if this is the case. I want to talk to the Council of Nine right now. We as a human species deserve to have a voice and to be able to speak to the Council of Nine in relation to what they are doing on Saturn. If it is true that they're trying to manipulate our species by manipulating entire gas giant planets in our solar system, and then they're saying that, oh, legally there's nothing that we can do about it, then the whole galaxy is just a bureaucratic, ridiculous mess, much like Loki, right? So I call upon the Council of Nine. If this is true, if we are being manipulated into a specific holographic matrix and being treated like batteries, that my free will is being violated. And I ask for the Council of Nine to stop this at once. And I call upon the light of this entire universe to flood our planet, to overcome the filters that have been created, to flood our planet with true light and love, and to change and transform this planet. If this is not true, then it makes for great science fiction. Anytime I hear the mention of Archons, I always seem to ignore it because some of the stuff I've read about Archons was obviously ridiculous. But that's another name that comes up. Who knows? When anytime I hear conspiracy theories like this, there's a part of me that will always start to deny it. It's human nature. But As somebody that speaks about big things like the Law of One and global harvests and changes in consciousness, this is super fascinating in general, and it would make for a great movie at a minimum if it turned out that Saturn was programming us. So what do you think? Check out those books. Check out The Ringmakers of Saturn. If you really want to believe something special is going on Saturn, when you read that, at a minimum, even if you're a scientist, you're going to say this was well documented and written, and why aren't we talking about this more often? There are things flying around the rings, creating the rings in real time that we can watch according to the Ringmakers of Saturn, and we're not talking about it. So with this kind of power, how can we circumvent it? Can we come together and by forming a social memory complex, block and change these energies that are being allowed into this planet? Is there a way for us to bring more light into this planet? Of course, there's conspiracies and there's groups and there's evil alliances that are trying to stop us, because what we present is something transformational and amazing. Once the love on this planet starts to grow, and we become a service to others' planet, and we transcend all of the attempts at manipulation, then we will change everything. They want to stop us because they're in their limited third density environment where it's all about power and about resources. We can overcome this. It's all a cliche, but we can overcome these forces because they do not have the power of the heart. And they do not have the power of love. They've separated themselves from the power of love. And I don't care what AI they have. There is nothing that can stop the power of love. Because God is love and God is all powerful. I do not deny his power. And so I call upon God in this environment so that we can get the light that we need on this planet to grow. Yes. Even those aliens have free will, and obviously if it's true, then they're serving some bizarre ideas and in attempt to further whatever agenda they have. But there is a higher agenda, a better agenda, an agenda that is absolutely more enjoyable and fun, and that is the agenda of love and light and service. And if we focus on those things, we begin to bring and attract more light that can break the barriers of whatever is around this planet. And we will break the barriers of whatever quarantine, because we are moving towards love together. So I want you to bear with me and believe in this wonderful thing with me. And the more you believe it and seek it out, bring light together, all of us, we can circumvent whatever forces there are. And perhaps it's just a beautiful planet. In any case, I can't wait to hear what you have to say about it. All episodes of The Reality Revolution can be found at therealityrevolution.com. And welcome to The Reality Revolution.